almost 23.
Where do you come from?
Well, right now from North Philadelphia, but before that, my parents came from Ay Bonito, and although I myself was born in San Juan, because that's where the hospital was, the military hospital.
Oh, so your father was in the military?
Yeah, he was. That's how we got to the States, as a matter of fact. My father was in the Army, and he was stationed in Germany for a while, after which he came over here, and he, with the intentions of going back to Puerto Rico, making some money and taking the family back. So we opened up a store, a grocery store, and we've been here ever since. It's about 18 years now.
How long has it been since you left Puerto Rico?
About 18 years.
During that time, what were the conditions in Puerto Rico?
Well, I couldn't tell you myself because I was kind of young, but from what my parents tell me, well, first of all, they're from the campo. They came from the countryside, and there was no hospital. That's why I was born in San Juan. There was no hospital in Ay Bonito. And my parents tell me stories about walking to school. They tell me the distance was about from here to Candom, and they used to walk every day from North Philadelphia to Candom.
The school from North Philadelphia to Cannon?
Yeah, you know, that was walking the distance. To school. Yeah, they only got to second grade because of that. Because they had to travel so far, and they had to come home for lunch, believe it or not. So it sounded like it was pretty bad, you know, it sounded like it was pretty barren.
You say you came here with the intention of somehow going back to Puerto Rico. What does that, is that becoming a reality?
Well, in a way it is, yeah. My parents, throughout the years that they've been here, they've been paying for a house in Puerto Rico. And they finished paying for it, I'd say about 3 years ago, I think. They finished paying for it. So they do plan to go back, although they're shaky about it because they have no means of support over there. They don't think that they can, it's not easy to transport a whole business. That's what they do. My parents are in a grocery store. And when you start out a new business, it's hard if you go to another community because you have to set up clientele and people who trust you and things like that. So they're shaky about that. They have no means of support if they go down there, but they would like to go back, I think.
How do you feel about going back?
Me. I've been back. Let me first say that I've been back. When I was 14, I went back for about 2 months. And then when I was about 19, I went back for 2 months. And both times I had a beautiful time. I love the island. It's gorgeous. But I really felt a bit like a foreigner over there. I got criticized because of my skin color. I'm awfully pale. And they teased me about that, and they teased me about my poor, broken Spanish. I don't know. There's a lot of political things going on in Puerto Rico, which I don't understand right now. It's kind of a mess, and the cost of living is high. I don't know if I could survive over there, if I could even find a job. But I would like to live there for a few years at least to try it out. Maybe I even stay, you know, after I tested it out. I'm not sure.
How educated are you?
Well, it's debatable. It depends who you ask. I went up to college. I just graduated from college this last May, 1977, with a degree in psychology, a BA, Bachelor of Arts.
So, you more or less don't feel quite comfortable in Puerto Rico.
No, that's not true. I feel comfortable. But like I said before, I don't know if I'm competent to make it there. You know, I don't know if I could survive if I had to live there without my parents, or if I had to go and make it on my own, I don't know how well I'd do. Because my Spanish is one barrier. Spanish, you could tell I was raised in the States when I started speaking Spanish.
One barrier?
Yeah, that's one of them. The other one is the differences in the social norms and the customs. I'm used to the way things are here. You know, and when I go over there, people misinterpret my actions and my way of dressing, my way of speaking, my way of relating to other people. They misinterpret that as rudeness or ignorance or something like that, and that gets in the way.
What are the differences between the Puerto Ricans here and the Puerto Ricans in the island that you can, you know?
Yeah. Different. In what area? Like, how do you mean?
Well,
differences.
You're mentioning things like your barrier, your languages, the language problem you have, dress norms, just certain social norms, but
okay.
The differences.
Yeah, well, in dressing and things like that, I'd say the difference, well, I'm a pretty, not liberal dresser, but the less clothes I wear, the better I feel. Especially when it's hot, like the climate in Puerto Rico is so hot. And you can't walk down the street in shorties over there without being considered a street woman. You know, it's just not done. There's just a lot of little things. The way people relate to each other, like relationships. I've never really, in Puerto Rico, seen a relationship between a man and a woman that was very tight and very non-sexual. Like, it just doesn't happen. You know, you're not allowed to have male friends unless you're thinking about marrying them. And you can't have more than one boyfriend over there. I mean, I don't like to do that anyway, because I guess I do carry some of the social norms unconsciously with me, but if I would want to do it, I wouldn't want anybody to tell me I can't. And you find less dictatorship about how many boyfriends to have in America, I think, than you do in Puerto Rico. People put it down. You know, it's something you just don't do. Then again, the people of Puerto Rico, and I like their loyalty in their relationships, which is something that I think Americans are losing. Especially nowadays when you hear about wife swapping and the American to me seems awfully bored with his relationships. He's always looking for new experiments and new, I don't know, he's lost something. And I think that's why he's always trying something else, something new. When really a relationship is such an exciting thing if you want it to be, you know.
Do you feel the males, in the Puerto Rican males in the United States can carry on the relationship you're talking to about right now, or are you simply saying that the American white male?
What about him?
Well, you said something like the relationship being non-sexual. Do you find that relationship here among the Puerto Rican male?
Sure. I have a lot of male friends that I have no sexual relationship with at all. No man-woman relationship. You know, just friends, good friends that are male. Just like I have good girlfriends, you know.
And you don't find... would you consider this machismo type thing, you know? Would you consider it a machismo in Puerto Rico more than you would... Or would you use a different word for it?
I don't like... machismo to me implies maleliness, manliness, or whatever. And I love manly men. I really don't see that as a derogatory term, the way most people do. I like the way Puerto Rican men are manly, although when it comes to depriving a woman of her rights, well, that's, you know, that's something else. That's not being manly, that's being unmanly. So I don't call it machismo. Do I find more of it here among the Puerto Ricans that were raised here?
I wanted to know if you used the word, would you use that word?
No.
More here than you would over there, or more there than over here.
Okay, yeah. They're different. The machismo is different. Over there, I guess it's stronger. In a way, men treat women worse. If I could use that term. You know, there's a lot more ass-pinching going on down in the island than there is here. But here, men have a lot, there's a lot of street, what I'll call street pride, which hasn't developed in Puerto Rico because the streets are not the same, if you know what I mean. The environment in the ghetto or the slum, whatever you want to call it, makes Puerto Rican men in America very sensitive to women achieving anything. They don't want their women to achieve because it's knocking them. You know, so in that way, men here are more machismo. Whereas in Puerto Rico, men even prefer their wives to work in some situations. You know, especially on the farm. You know.
So you have a BA in psychology, right?
Yeah, right.
How do you see that as a barrier or as a help to you in ever, you know, getting married? Fine, you know. First of all, are you married?
No, I'm not. Not right now. Never was.
Okay. And do you think your degree in psychology or any degree in would help you or, you know, hinder you from marrying a Latin man?
Not a Latin man. Not even a Puerto Rican man, but definitely a Puerto Rican. The Puerto Rican Americans that are here, they're limited, the ones who have degrees. And most of the ones I've met who have degrees, I'm not attracted to, because they're usually the more feminine type. It's a phenomenon that happens. You notice when black people first started to move up socially, and Puerto Ricans too, more women than men go to college. So the men that do go, the first ones, usually tend to be effeminate men. You know, and I'm just not turned on by them. But there's other Latin men. Right now I'm going out with a Mexican who, strangely enough, our cultures are very similar. You know? And I find him to be my equal. I've gone out with people from Venezuela who are greatly superior to me, you know, in the educational field, in the education field. So no, it doesn't hinder my chances. It used to make me feel bad, to tell you the truth, that I was educated, because whenever I went to a dance, they considered me untouchable, and they wouldn't ask me to dance, and stuff like that. But now I just find it to be an asset. As I mature, it's not that important to be socially approved of anymore. You know, I'm just glad I've had the chance to study something that interests me.
How do you see the rise, or how do you see the education of the Puerto Rican people coming around? Like, is it going to be a higher as years go by, or do you see a trend, you know,
yeah,
in education in Puerto Rican society?
Yeah, definitely. That's probably why I stopped feeling bad about being educated, because once I got out of college, I went to college in Penn State, which is in the middle of Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere, Petticoat Junction, it might as well be. And there was very few Puerto Ricans there. And to me, when I came back to Philadelphia, you know, I would come back for weekends and go to dances and meet a lot of people who were into nothing and therefore feel rejected by them. But now that I'm working or doing volunteer work, I've been meeting a lot of educated Puerto Ricans, and I just feel like part of their group. You know, I once again have a social group to mix with. Yeah, I definitely think Puerto Ricans are becoming more educated. I think there's a good movement going on. You know, they're more interested in getting ahead now.
Mm-hmm. Would you encourage this trend?
Oh, sure. Definitely. I myself would like to go for more education later in life. You know, once I make some money and I can support myself through grad school, I would like to go back.
Are you working now?
I'm doing volunteer work right now in a drug rehabilitation center run by Puerto Ricans for Puerto Ricans. And I really enjoy the work. You know, I'm doing family counseling. It's nice work. It doesn't pay enough, but it's nice work.
What do you see yourself as doing in the future? What type of work would you want?
I'll tell you my secret ambition is to be a therapist. I would like to be a good psychologist, what I would like to be. But that's really in the future. Right now I'd be happy just being an unemployed person. I also see myself as being a parent. I'm anxious to have children. Not right now, but I would like to have kids. I myself come from a large family, 8 kids. And I love it, you know. When you have a large family, there's always plenty of love going around the house, you know. It just feels warm. So I do plan to have a family. Hopefully by a Latin male. Definitely by a Latin male. I won't take second best.
Let's go back to your education, okay? Did your parents reinforce or more or less, did they stress education in your family?
Oh, yeah. My parents, like I told you before, my parents only went to second grade. But they're incredibly smart. You know, they read, they write, like an educated person. And my mother's always reading things about nutrition. She knows an incredible amount of information. My father knows all about politics. And yeah, They're the type of parents to sit with children after they come home from school and help them with their homework. And they do definitely encourage education and progress.
They encouraged you to go to college then?
Yes, definitely. They supported me as much as they could. I did it mostly on grants and gifts and scholarships. But they did send me money monthly, what they could, you know. And they visited me twice while I was up there. You know, pulled me up. They definitely encouraged me.
You left Philadelphia to study in the middle of Pennsylvania, you stated before. How did your parents react to this?
Well, at first was a lot of sadness, especially my mom. You know, she did the usual Puerto Rican routine when parents and children are separated. She cried and she hugged me and she bought me a lot of warm pajamas type of thing. And later on, as the years went on, there was a lot of pride in there. You know, like when anybody would walk into the store to buy something, she would always mention the fact that her daughter was at Penn State. In the middle of it, there was a lot of concern because I started worrying about wild college parties and all of a sudden I was turning too loose and what's happening to my poor little girl. She wants to go out at night. So they realized the change that was happening in me when I came home on weekends. I wanted more freedom. I was just used to having things my way. But at the end, when I finally did graduate, there was such an enormous feeling of pride that it was worth everything, you know, just that feeling. I wouldn't even care if I had the degree. The feeling, you know, that I had accomplished something was all over their faces. And really, they were the ones who accomplished something, you know, considering their situation and how well they've done for themselves.
Is this reaction to your leaving home typical of Puerto Rican families, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, if they get to graduate. Yeah, that feeling, because I told you, the feelings change as the years go on. And the feeling only gets very strongly positive at the end. Towards the middle, there's so much concern. Like, I had a Puerto Rican girlfriend, who dropped out of college in the middle of it, and her mother was convinced that college had made a whore out of her daughter and nothing more. You know, she didn't see any value in what her daughter had done. But if you finish, most of my other girlfriends who did graduate, yeah, their families were very proud. Towards the end.
Do many of the Puerto Ricans that entered college in the year you entered graduate?
Oh no, most of them dropped out the first year. I'd say the half of them, a little more than half, dropped out the first year. And then there was a few stray ones, 3-4 of them, who dropped out third and second year. And then, after the third year, most of them did graduate. But the good half of them dropped out first year.
Can you give a reason as to why they dropped out?
Oh, yeah. One of them got pregnant. It was a girl. A few of them fell in love and left. Mostly, though, it was because, I would say Temple, a university that's within the city, has a lower dropout rate among Puerto Ricans. The reason people dropped out of the place I was going to was because it was so, the environment was so non-supportive of Latin people. I mean, everything there, everything at the university, all activities, all fraternities, was geared for the white student. And there was just very little for us to do there. We had to sell our soul, so to speak, in order to survive up there, and I did. And I won't regret it because I came back a lot more Puerto Rican than I left, in a way, because I now know what I have. You know.
Why, if situation was so hard to handle, does Puerto Ricans still continue to go there?
Oh, because we're tough. We're very tough people. And because the university does have something to offer, it's a good university, it has a good name, it has a lot to offer, especially in the social sciences, anthropology, psychology. Some very famous, well-known people are up in Penn State, and Puerto Ricans know that, and plus there's money up there right now for minority students. Some do it, a lot of the women I know do it to get away from the house. Like, I know that was one of my main reasons for leaving, was to because I didn't want to end up in the kitchen cooking and cleaning and taking care of kids. And if I would have stayed in Temple, I would have had to live with my parents because Temple's down the block from my house. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to split from my family. I didn't realize what I was getting into. I didn't realize I was splitting from my whole community. But I did want a break. I did want to leave my family for certain reasons.
And how do you feel about the split? Has it helped you?
Oh, yeah. I came back a woman, I guess. I left a child, a girl, and I came back a woman, which sometimes interferes with my relating to my mother. And other times it helps, because now I understand her as a woman. I understand what she went through, taking care of 8 children and a man. Yeah, it's helped me. Sure, I'm richer now. You know, I have more to offer now to my family. Say, for instance, today my parents came back from a vacation, and I had helped with the dinner, and I had put flowers on the table and made a welcome home sign. I would have never had done that had I stayed here. You know, I just didn't appreciate before the way I do now.
Do you suggest going away for the females of the Puerto Rican?
Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
It depends. It really depends on the person. Some females can't take it. Some females need strong family bonds throughout their years. Always. They need that kind of support. I'm personally an independent person. I enjoy doing things on my own. I enjoy failing, you know, but giving it my wholehearted effort. I do. I like learning things because I have to learn them. Matter of fact, that's the best way I learn, under pressure. But some females, no, I wouldn't recommend it for. Say a female who likes to be mothered and who's very interested in being a domestic housewife, well, I'd say she'd be better off at home because it's not easy out there, you know.
How do you see the relationship among women, Puerto Rican women who go away to college, with the males when they return?
You mean males who haven't gone to college?
Right.
Okay, that's a very touchy situation. While I was going to college, I went to college for 5 years. While I was going and I was coming back here, I never really, for the first 2-3 years, I never really had a serious relationship with anybody at college. Not a serious relationship. What I would do is I would come back to Philadelphia and date men here. And I found that I was dating mostly uneducated men, men who had dropped out of school and high school and things like that. And I felt very much rejected. I found myself hiding my education. I refused to use words that I knew would help me. I was culturally retarded. I just made myself be that way in order to please. Later this became very unsatisfying because despite my efforts to act uneducated, it came through. And it was rejected. I, of course, took that as a personal rejection, and it was just hurting me very much. So I stopped. I no longer go out with men who are, not who are below me in education. It doesn't matter if they're below me, but if they feel below me, well, then that makes a difference. Or if they see me above them. You know, that I don't do anymore.
How did you solve this culturally retarded problem you had?
Oh, I haven't solved it. I still find myself... I have solved it mentally. I realize there's a problem there. I realize that I try to sound uneducated at times. I realize that I'd rather be hip than educated sometimes. I haven't really worked it out emotionally. It's hard to say... It's hard to bunk it all your culture, all your belonging. It's hard to put that away because you want to be educated. And I haven't done it completely, but I'm working on it. One way of doing it is by surrounding myself by people who are more like myself. You know, that helps to have people to support you. People who are educated. Puerto Ricans who have been to college.
How big is that crowd?
Not very big. But you could find them if you look.
Is there any differences between one crowd and the other? And do you think education is basically it, or is there other things, other ties that connect or distinguish different groups of people?
What do you mean by different groups?
Different crowds socially. So your social crowd, different social crowds.
You mean educated people from not educated? Is there differences?
Yeah. And is education the main reason for the differences?
That's a good question. It's probably impossible to answer. Because you would have to, well, I'm so much a social scientist, but you would have to keep one variable constant, the education, or rather the environment, and then change the educational factors and study. I don't know what to tell you. Yes, I feel a difference. There's a difference in values, definitely. The street gang seems to be loyal in a more, I hate to use this word, but they seem to be loyal to their friends in a more adolescent way. If somebody hurts their buddies, they're out to kill. They carve a heart in their chest for the woman they love. They do this type of thing, you know? Whereas the educated crowd is cooler in their emotions. They've kind of sold something, I guess. And I don't knock them. I don't see that as bad. It's funny. I always give higher values, higher... I always admire the street crowd more as a way of putting myself down, even though I don't believe it, or else I would be with them. But I have this feeling that I can't reject them. You know, there's so much a part of me.
The street crowd are more culturally... Well, are they more culturally hit than the educated crowd?
Culturally what?
Culturally minded, more.
Yeah. That's what I admire about them, I guess. They're more Puerto Rican, in a sense. You know, they've retained the culture better. Although, we still have it, but we change it. The educated people sort of change it around. We're more Americanized. We had to be, because we were put through an institution, you know? Came out bleached. Yeah, they're definitely more culturally minded. And I'm glad you asked that. That's probably what I admire about the most.
What's a street crowd to you exactly? It's exactly, you know... Can you describe them? Yeah,
I could describe them. It depends how good or bad. There's extremes, you know? But I'll give you a middle example. Street crowd would be... They're usually young. They dress very much in fads. You know, like if it's roll-up jeans with pleats down the middle, and that's what everybody wears, and easy walkers, and flowery shirts, if that's what's in. They usually dress alike. You can usually identify them by their clothes. They hang together. They feel secure together than alone. They don't usually like to be alone. The women, the girls, I should say, are usually very loud, louder than the women I hang around with. They're very physical. Men and women in street crowds sort of handle each other in a more pally way than I like to be handled. You know, I'd rather be respected. They're more violent with their kids. If they do happen to get married, there's a certain social norm. Like, usually they fall in love, the woman gets pregnant, they shack up. You know, there's certain things that they all do. And all of them, after they get married, well, not all of them, most of them, usually get married about 18 years old. And the norm is to play your wife dirty. And strangely enough, that's not considered bad here. It's not considered bad at all. Most of the girls I know, including myself, at one time or another, have gone out with married men, and that's not considered adultery or anything else like the American slave way. That's just the way life is here. You know, men don't marry women they love. They marry out of convenience, and then they date women they love.
Does that pertain, the marriage part, does that pertain to the Puerto Ricans also?
That's who I'm talking about.
So,
white people usually, if they do play their wives dirty, it's considered, I don't know if it happens less often or among the middle class or what it is, but you don't hear of it as much. People don't say, I'm going out with your old man, or the way they admit it. They admit it so readily. You know, it's just like part of life. The women admit it. Women fight for men here, whereas most white women will not fight for a man. If a wife finds her white husband with another woman, she'll either ask for a divorce or walk out on him. But she'll rarely jump the other woman the way a Puerto Rican woman would.
What do you consider... Why do women do this, the Puerto Rican women?
Do what, fight for their men?
Yeah, like you said, then again, why does the people behave this way?
Why? Well, like I told you before, they usually marry young, and it's for convenience that they marry. You know, the woman wants to get out of the house, so she gets married, and the man's either been kicked out of his house because he's been playing with drugs, and he's lonely. He's not used. Puerto Rican men, at least my brothers, weren't allowed to pick up their own socks and do their own laundry and clean the house. My mother just forbids it, you know, when they were growing up. There was four guys and four girls in my house. And the four women were expected to do all the domestic work. So right now, my brothers are all of them went straight from my house to their wife's dwelling place, you know. Like, none of them lived the bachelor life because they're just not used to it. And that's what happens to most Puerto Rican men. They're pampered at home, and then they need a wife, you know, to take care of them. Also, it's a power feeling for them, because if you notice something, it's funny to look at, but if you notice, a lot of Puerto Rican men like their old ladies to find out about their girlfriends. You know, they enjoy it. They enjoy the fact that two women both want them, you know. If you go to a dance, you'll see a lot of time Puerto Rican men dancing with two women. White men never do that. You know, it's sort of like a prestigious power, a symbol or something, you know.
How do you like this? What do you think of what your last statement?
I accept it as part of human nature, you know? I would love it if two men were after me and they both were in love with me. I might find it difficult to choose or something like that, but I would really enjoy it. I think it's something a lot of white people fantasize about. They just never acted out the way Puerto Ricans do. I think it's a natural thing.
Then it has nothing to do culturally, in your opinion.
What's culture is the expression. It's the fact that... That's the big difference, I think, between Puerto Ricans and white people. It's not that we're so different. It's that we're more honest about our expression, I think. When we feel anger, we really show it. And when we feel love, we... They say we're irrational, but I just think we're very emotional, very passionate. And that's just another thing. That's that power struggle with women and that prestigious thing is something that all people want. All people want to be prestigious, you know, to have more than one woman, but most people just won't let them live that out because of moral or ethnic restrictions, whatever.
How many brothers and sisters you have?
I have four brothers and three sisters. And my grandmother lives with us also. Mm-hmm.
How many of these were born in Puerto Rico?
Okay, five of us. The first five were born in Puerto Rico. The sixth one was born in Germany. The seventh one was born in New Jersey. And the eighth in Philadelphia.
What type of family do you consider part of? What type of, if you had to give an adjective, how would you describe your family?
Tight, warm, very beautiful family. I have a large family, like I mentioned before. And they're just a lot closer to each other than a lot of people I know. I know a lot of people who envy our family. Not envy, but they wish theirs was more like ours. I guess it's living so closely together. We lived in a small house when we first came here, and all of us used to sleep in one room, all the kids except the baby. And that, going to bed at night together, you know, sleeping under the covers, making tents, that type of thing made us very, very close. You know, getting hit together also. We used to get beat together. And that was a lot of fun for us. It grew us more together. It grew us closer, you know.
Your family and the way they are, you know, this tight, together type family that you have. Do you think a lot of Puerto Rican families are like that?
I don't think a lot of families, period, are like the way mine are. I think it's rare. I've been blessed. It's one of my blessings is my family. I don't think there's, in any culture, there's too many of our kind. Puerto Ricans, specifically, their families, I think, are, unfortunately, I think they would be tight, more tight families, but a lot of them are torn apart by financial difficulties. You know, some of them have to work when they're early and they move out of the house or they run away. A lot of the young women run away because they can't take the restrictions that the mother puts on her, you know, cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, and not going out with men. So that tears families apart, you know. But then, in another way, an older sister taking care of a family makes for a lot of tightness, too. It really depends. It depends how fortunate the family is in other areas.
Are you talking about the families here in Philadelphia, in the United States, or are you, you know, referring to both, all families, regardless of where you are at, Philly or the island?
No, I just mean Philadelphia. I don't know much about the island families.
How do you perceive your family will be?
Will be?
Yeah.
In the future? Well, four of them already got married. And I still see them very close, even though they live in different parts of the States. When they can get together, they go out together, they have dinner together. I think when I get married, I'll probably be closer to my older brothers than I am right now, because I'll be more in their social group, you know, I'll be a couple. They do most things in couples now because they're married. And I think once I get married, I'll once again be reunited with my older brothers and sisters, and I'll never be untight with my little ones, you know, because something I grew up with. I'm in the middle, by the way. I'm number 5. The little ones I'll be closer to because I'll be financially better off, and I'll be able to help them through college if they need it, or buy them stuff, take them out with me. Yeah, I think we'll always be this way, you know?
Is this the type of family you would want in the future?
Oh, sure. Definitely.
Where do you live?
I live close to the corner of Lawrence and Norris, right there at the intersection.
What type of neighborhood is that?
It's predominantly Puerto Rican. It used to be, when we first came, there was white people here. And they moved out as Puerto Ricans moved in. There's about 2 or 3 white families still on the block. And after the Puerto Ricans came, about 4 or 5 black families moved in, too. So now it's a bit mixed, but it's mostly Puerto Ricans. It's a noisy neighborhood, but it's young. There's a lot of children on the block. It's a friendly, it's clean, too. It's cleaner than most of the neighborhoods around here. There's not too many abandoned houses on this block. And the people here are friendly. You know, the white people that are here don't have superior feelings, and the black people don't have inferior feelings. So they relate to each other pretty well.
The income of most of these families around you, how would you place them?
I think they vary greatly, because 2 different families on this block might be making the same, well, they might be making, one might be making $10,000, one might be making $5,000. But the $5,000 family might have one child, whereas the $10,000 might have eight, as is the case in my house. So it really does depend. Like, the salaries vary, but the standard of living doesn't. See, there's other factors that balance it out. Standard of living, I would say, is lower middle. Lower middle class, I mean.
Yeah. You said it's a young neighborhood. What do you mean by that?
There's a lot of kids. A lot of young children. Handsome children, strong kids. You see a lot of people playing football, baseball, athletic. You see a lot of toddlers. They're so cute. You know, you see them hanging all over the street. This street is always a play street, by the way, every summer. Because there are so many children here that the parents don't like cars coming down. Also, the neighborhood's noisy. Because when this neighborhood was developed, when it was constructed, there wasn't enough living space designated to the people who were going to live here. And the family is usually crowded into a house. Like, this is a house I'm living in right now. It's three bedrooms. And there's 9 people living here. No, it's more 11 people living here. So you can imagine how the people are distributed within rooms. And that makes the neighborhood very, very crowded. Like, on summer nights, so many people come out, because it's a hot neighborhood. So many people come out on the streets that it just seems amazingly crowded. You wonder, where are all these people coming from? You know, they look like roaches. They all pop out. I had some friends come over the other day. They're from Texas. As you know, Texas is very flat. And they couldn't get over where do all these people fit in? Like, where do they go at night? You know, they were amazed by that. And it's true, it's very crowded. But amazingly enough, it's peaceful. You know, you would think with so much crowdedness that people would fight more often, and they don't, really don't. Not as much as they used to in the past. Probably because they're kids, you know. The hooligans have moved out.
How do you like your neighborhood?
I like it pretty well. They just finished putting up a line of trees up the block. Not just, about 3 years ago. And now the trees have grown out, and it makes it shady. You know, it looks really pretty. The only trouble we had is that the house across the street, the club, or it used to be a store. It used to be a pretty drug store. And nobody owns the house, so it keeps being handed down to different people. Keep renting it out. And usually it's people who are not interested in staying in the neighborhood. So what they do is they set up, like right now, I think that place across the street is a drug outlet. It's disguised as a pool room. It's bad for the kids, you know. Parents worry about it because they see a lot of teenagers walking in and out of there. And it's just not a healthy place for them to be. You know, they're unsupervised and it's unconstructive.
You are unemployed right now, are you not?
Oh, very much so, yes.
Suppose you were to find a job and make it approximately the same amount your parents are making now. Mm-hmm. For a single person, that's pretty good amount of money.
Yeah.
Do you plan on staying in a neighborhood like this, living with your parents, or do you plan on moving out?
I definitely plan on moving out. So that my parents could take over my bedroom. They're sleeping in the sala right now, in the living room. And because it's getting emotionally small in here for me too. By that I mean, I'm just used to having my own kitchen, my own bathroom, having my own hours, coming in and out as I please. And that's not cool when you live with your parents. You know, you must respect, if you're living in their house, you must respect their feelings no matter how old fashioned you think they are. At least the way I see it. So yes, I plan to move out. The neighborhood, I wouldn't mind having a house around the neighborhood. The only thing that bothers me, to tell you the truth, is stealing. I would think I would be more afraid in this neighborhood than in others. Although, I'd rather live in a Puerto Rican neighborhood. I'm not real crazy about the idea of living with white people near them. Because they always have qualms about playing Latin music too loud. Puerto Ricans very rarely complain about loud neighbors because they're so loud themselves, you know. And I prefer it that way.
you know.
How would your parents react to you leaving your house?
Well, I'm preparing them for it slowly. They already have an idea that I'm leaving. They know I want out. And I think they'll accept it. They might... Depending on how I do it, you see? The safer I am, the more they would like it. You know, they probably wouldn't want me to live in this neighborhood.
Their attitude about you leaving, is it unusual or usual for a Puerto Rican family to feel this way?
The way their attitude used to be, what their attitude used to be, is very usual, very typical. You know, they believe that a woman shouldn't leave the house, and why do you want to leave, and don't we give you everything you need, and kind of hurt, offended, insulted, afraid, confused type of attitude, feelings. But now, my parents have come a long way. I've watched them grown up. I raised my parents in a way. And they're seeing things differently now, you know. They see my prospects for getting married improved. If I'm more ambitious, they think I'll probably marry a man with a who's also more ambitious than the guys who hang around here. So they see it as an asset now, you know, an independent woman.
Marriage seems to be a big part of their plans for you.
Oh,
how do you feel about it?
Oh, yeah. My mother's dying for me to get married. She's a... Well, to them, a woman is not complete unmarried. They've accepted the fact that, yes, you can go out, you can live by yourself if you want for a while, but don't overdo it. You know, like, please get married. Yeah, definitely. You can be ambitious, but they would never approve of a woman sacrificing her family life for a career. And as far as I'm concerned, they have nothing to worry about because I would never make the trade, you know.
How typical is this?
You mean parents wanting their daughters to get married? Very typical. Of course, depending on who they want to marry. Puerto Rican mother will fight to the death if her daughter wants to marry what she considers a hoodlum, a worthless bum, a punk, or whatever else she wants to call him. Now, if it's a doctor, or if it's a lawyer, or if it's a man with a position, or a good future, wow. They'll go eat them up. I mean, they love it. No. It's funny, when I bring a guy, like, if my mother knows when I was...
Quote unquote.
Okay. My mother would get really worried, and she wanted me at a certain time, and she didn't want them coming around the house and things like that. But the few times I did go out with somebody, I once went out with a teacher, and right now I'm going out with a reporter. When they come into the house, they get treated better than my father. I mean, you know, they get a head place at the table, and well, no, not better than my father, because he is king. But there's an exaggerated feeling of trying to make them feel comfortable, you know, like everything is done for them, everything is polite, everybody's embarrassed about the crumbs on the table and the stained tablecloth, and you know, all of a sudden everybody's very embarrassed because there's a man of position coming into the house.
So basically your mother wants you to get married to a well-to-do...
A doctor.
A well-to-do
How
person.
Jewish.
Talking about races, does she mind? Is it a big thing for your parents to... if you brought in somebody who is not Puerto Rican?
Okay, good question. My, when I was young, when I was, say, 16 years old, my mother claimed that I can go out with anybody except a black man, all right? So I brought home a Jewish boy. He's about 15 at the time, he was young. And my mother insisted, you know, I told her I was going out with a white man, and, of course, to her, a Jewish man is white. to me too. And she insisted that I bring him home. She wanted to meet him, she wanted to see him, you know, she wanted to make sure his intentions were good, whatever that means. And when I did bring him home, she went to church. She refused to talk to him, you know, or else she pulls out her Bible and she starts praying. Okay, now later I did mention the fact that I went out with black men to her, and it didn't seem to upset her, as long as they were black Puerto Ricans, which is what I was going out with at the times. Later still, I went out with black Americans, and I let her know that, and it didn't disturb her at all, I guess because she didn't see them, didn't bother her. You know, well, if you do it while you're away, it's okay, just don't let me see you. And now, it's funny, you know, psychologists claim that prejudice is taught, and I believe it's true, because I came out of school, I'm not prejudiced, I still admire men for men, men are men, and I love them all, but I just, I could see so much more, I feel so much more comfortable. There's so much that has this, when I'm with a Puerto Rican man or with a Latin man, there's so much that can stay unsaid, so much common ground. You know, I don't have to explain to them why I have to go in at a certain time and why is your mother praying in the living room. Like, they know. They know why I live the way I do and how I live. You know, I don't have to go explaining it to them. I don't have to be embarrassed about a lot of things.
How do you think a Puerto Rican man reacts to a Puerto Rican woman dating non-Puerto Rican men?
Okay, it depends what they are, really. Now, if I were to be dating a white man, that's considered the lowest you can get. You know, that's really, you're just wasting your life. If I was dating a black man, well, at least he's a brother, he's blood. He's related, he somehow fits into our culture. But that's not very good either. If I'm dating another Latin, which I am right now, I'm dating a Mexican guy. That's even better, but it's still not good enough, you know. As a matter of fact, the other day my boss asked me who I was going out with, and I told him he was Mexican. And he just had all kinds of fits. He told me how jealous he gets when Puerto Rican women go out with non-Puerto Ricans, and it upsets him, and gets offended, you know? And I could understand it. I once saw a Puerto Rican with a white, he was so cute. He was a real good looking Puerto Rican. And he was with a white woman. And, you know, I'm mature enough to say whether they're in love or even if they're not in love, that's their business and stuff like that. But I just don't want to see the race. No, that's stupid. I mean, the race, that's dumb. The race started out as a mixture, you know, so what difference does it make? No, I guess I don't really feel that way, you know.
It does bother you in a little bit, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't bother me. Not if I have my own boyfriend, you know. If I'm without one, that's it. If I'm not dating anybody, and I see a Puerto Rican with a white woman, well, I figure, well, that could have been mine, you know. That should have been mine. I should have had first choice, you know. If the guy's good looking and if he looks like a possible. Now, if I have my own boyfriend, and especially if he's non-Puerto Rican, and I see a Puerto Rican with a white woman, well, then it doesn't bother me because I think to myself, well, I'm doing it, and who cares if she's doing it or not? I don't want him. I have what I want over here, you know. Yeah, that's it. It depends on my social state at the time. Although I'm growing away from that more and more. But the men themselves, to answer your original question, the men themselves get insulted, offended, and jealous. They're so jealous. Puerto Rican men are so jealous. It's unbelievable. Yeah, that's basically it. They're jealous of it, you know.
This jealousy, is there a reason behind that?
You mean women deserve to be treated, to be suspected?
No, is there a reason behind the jealousy that Puerto Rican men feel when they see any other, regardless of whether they're related or non-related or maybe from another part of the country or something, a Puerto Rican woman or, you know, with a non-Puerto Rican man?
Well, jealousy never has reason, as far as I'm concerned. There is no reason to jealousy. It's jealousy is an emotion in its purest state. If there's a bit of reason in jealousy, well, then it's no longer jealousy. It turns into something else. No, there's no reason. You know?
Yet, you seem to think that many men react to this, that Puerto Rican men are jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. But it's not something that they reason, is what I'm saying. It's something they just feel. Taught to feel. They're probably taught to feel it at a very young age. You know, and it carries with their mother. And it carries on to their brother. I sound like Freud.
You stated before that you thought you were culturally retarded. Can you tell me how culturally retarded you are? Or you feel that you are?
How much? To what degree? Do you want on a scale from 1 to 10? How I'm culturally retarded, I would say I don't really belong to either one of the cultures. That's what I meant by that. I'm not fully American. I'm not part of the Pepsi generation. But I'm not fully Puerto Rican either. I would have trouble relating to somebody on the island, for instance.
Do you know any stories, any folk tales, any little sayings of the, you know, that was brought down to you from mouth to mouth through generations?
Oh yeah, I have a whole store full of them, a whole memory bank, but that would take a whole tape. Most of the ones I remember are the stories of Juan Bobo. I don't know if you ever heard of them before. They're moral stories for kids. They always have they're like fables. They always end in a moral. And then there's all these refranes that grandma's always yelling around the house, and all the stories of her experiences when she lived in the campo. Yeah, I know quite a bit of it, really. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I would like to, though.
Is being a lot more cultured or knowledgeable in your culture one of the most important things to you now?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I couldn't tell you exactly why it's important now. Maybe because I feel it's slipping away. But it's gaining, the older I get, it's gaining importance as I age. There's one saying that I just heard in a record from the Gran Combo says, si no fuera haber nacido en la tierra que nací, yo estuviera arrepentido de no haber nacido ahí. That's the way I feel about it, you know.
Okay, I want to thank you for giving me the time and the effort on this interview. You've been a very interesting person to talk to, and I think we've accomplished a lot. Thank you.
Hello, Linda.